Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
This is Don Fluckinger on site at National Health IT Week in Washington, D.C. I'm at the Henley Park Hotel, where the College of Health Information Management executives are meeting before they go to Capitol Hill and make their case to some of our legislatures on all matters HIT. I'm here with Pam McNutt. She's Senior Vice President and CIO of Methodist Health System in Dallas. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So what do you get out of Health IT Week? What's your return on investment for making the trip?
Well, really for me, it's about the opportunity to have some of the congressional visits. That's why I like to make the trip, as well as CHIME. CHIME aligns our annual policy strategy meeting to HIT Week as well. So those are the two reasons I'm here.
And what are your most pressing concerns in 2013 when you're meeting with your fellow CIOs?
Well, I think the biggest concern on all of our minds and some of the meetings that we've already had regard the need for an extension of meaningful use stage two. The time frames are just too tight for providers to comply, you know, by July or October of next year. So we are really beating that drum that the extension is needed. We have the collision with the ICD-10 project that is coming in at the same time, and it's causing organizations to have to, you know, really choose between two or three. There's other things going on, two or three extremely important priorities, and because of shrinking resources for providers, you can't do it all. So we're going to have to choose. And it would be a real shame after how far we've come with meaningful use and meaningful use stage one to have, you know, a tremendous blow up of the program because of lack of success during the coming year. So to me, it would be wiser to have an extension and give people more time to ensure that we have a successful transition into stage two.
Now, I'm sure you've looked over stage two ad infinitum. When it comes to implementing it in your facilities, what do you think will be the thorniest thing to pull off as far as the criteria or the compliance or whatever you may call it?
You know, the transitions of care requirement of everything you need to do to be able to share data at the transitions of care, which implies that you have to have perfect medication reconciliation going on, a great discharge planning process and routine that has both that has nurses, social work, and physician involvement, and all that will need to be electronic so that we can share the data at the transitions of care. So that's one of the ones that I think has a lot of work in the background and a lot of workflow built into it. It's not just getting the software. It's all the workflow, the process change in your organizations, and then all the training you have to do for your staff, for the nursing staff and the ancillary staff in order to make it work properly. And of course, they've raised the bar on CPOE and changed the calculations on CPOE. And that is going to be very daunting for some people. But for other people, they're already there. But for those that aren't there, it's going to be very daunting to get there. Again, the workflow changes, the all the testing that needs to be done, all the training that needs to be done to make sure that we implement these technologies safely.
Is there a group of folks in your system who are still working on CPOE? Can you quantify it, like a group of specialists or a group of ambulatory physicians in one building? Or
our ambulatory group is in really good shape. It's in the hospitals where we are now in a full court press for what we call high adoption CPOE, which is, means with a few exceptions, we expect 100% of the doctors for 100% of the patients to do CPOE. When we did meaningful use stage one, we did 100% in the emergency department and then with our hospitalists. But now we're reaching out to doctors who still round for their own patients and of course all the specialists. And And so that's what we've been working on, and it's full court press.
So your fellow CHIME fellows, Randy McLeese, Chuck Christian, and Neil Gangley, when I interviewed them before this week, they all sort of talked about the need for a national patient identifier. And since those interviews, ONC has come out with this patient matching initiative. What's your take on that? Does it go far enough, or do you think really it's going to be difficult to do true patient matching between facilities and between different vendors, EMRs, until we get that national identifier?
I don't think it's a problem between EMRs, but it is a problem when you're trying to match data in a population. And certainly coming out with a national framework and a national standard, if we can, on how to match patients is helpful. In an ideal world, we would have a patient identifier, but I would say that even if we had a patient identifier, because of just errors in data entry that could occur with admissions and registration, and also with the possibility of fraud, of people using other people's insurance and misrepresenting who they are, even if we had a patient identifier, I think we'd still need a patient matching algorithm behind it to double check that we, just because I said it was this number, let's just make sure that that makes sense, that her criteria really matches the criteria of the Pam McNutt we already have on record.
Right. So, trust but verify.
Trust but verify. That's great.
Well, and so my last question, it's interesting that CHIME has its own ringer in the ONC with David Muntz, who is a CHIME fellow. And I was talking with him yesterday after he did a presentation at an AHIMA conference out in Alexandria, right? And so he won't give any information about whether he's in the running for to be the next coordinator, but he did say that he brought up this very interesting notion that the CIO as a position in general, and perhaps even in healthcare as a position, is either evolving into something else, or it might be in decline. It might be replaced, down the road as into something, more of the data analysis or he called it value analytics, proving, the business proposition for implementing a technology, which is a lot different from a manager of information systems, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what are your thoughts on that? Do you see that is sort of, that the CIO position is evolving into something else, or...?
I think it has evolved, and I think what you see is, in some cases, you see people who have maybe had a nursing background, physicians, maybe someone who was a CMIO becoming the CIO, because I think it is morphing to be more clinical in nature, and you don't necessarily have to be a clinician, but you do have to be deeply involved in the clinical rollouts that are going on in your organization. So that's a bit of a change from the traditional role, 15, 20 years ago, where frankly a lot of IT and healthcare was about finance, was about getting the bill out correctly. And there's still a role for that, and that's still a role a CIO has to play. So a clinical CIO needs to be versed then on the opposite, on the other areas of healthcare that they're going to have to be guardian over. And there's other interesting things happen as more and more of us are looking at ACOs, patient-centered medical homes, and the data analytic needs and the just different kind of data needs and tools than we've had before in a traditional healthcare environment. And I think that's the new role the CIO is playing, is being able to vet through all those different systems and then understand where our data sources are. And then also sometimes I think the chief information officer nowadays is the chief reality officer in some cases of, great, we want, we've got 20 doctors out there and a home health agency and long-term care facility, and we want all this data to magically be in one system and we need it up and running in 6 months. Chief reality officer says, It's not quite that easy, and so let's walk before we run. Let's take logical steps, and there's there's frankly a lot of mistakes right now that healthcare organizations could make spending a lot of money on a lot of different technology before they truly understand what it is that their business needs from them. And so again, I think that's the new morphed role. It's a higher role for a lot of CIOs, is to help navigate through those strategic issues.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the searchhealthit.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit searchhealthit.com. Thank you.